in the bottom of page Chav Gimel, the Rebbe's bemoaning the matzav of a dar of an and of a person whose avodas Hashem is without even the slightest hisrakshus or minimal hisrakshus, and the Rebbe's explaining that we might think that without hisrakshus that it means that a person's avodah is at worst lifeless and cold, but that's really it. There's nothing else terrible or negative about avodas Hashem without hisrakshus. That's what we might think, but he's explaining that's not the case. That's not the case, because the metzius is that unless a person intensifies his hargoshes, his hisrakshus in avodas Hashem, then the natural tendency of a person to be inclined towards Gashmias and Bahamias and the hisrakshus for things of this world will completely take over, and intellectual speculation, especially in our generation, which is very weak in that regard, will not suffice in making this person and allowing this person even to be just stam, a cold, lifeless Oved Hashem. And he's writing that this is something that we see even later in life. At the bottom of the page, he said, we have what seems to be a very, very strange phenomenon, that there are older Chassidim Haboyim B'yomim, that even now that they're old, and you would expect that at this point in life that certainly they would be in control of their taivas. And not only are they not in control of their taivas, but he says that they're having greater problems with their taivas now in their old age than when they were younger. And the reason for this is also he says when they were younger, in their earlier years, really the avoda of these people was only bedaitam, was just knowing to do the right thing and thinking about the right thing, but without any instructions. They didn't focus, they didn't make the effort to be'emes, to transform themselves, atzmusam, be'etzem, to change themselves. Versus akshusam, and to develop the ability to feel a hisrakshus navaydus Hashem, which is what this entire sefer is about. Ulaf ilam l'tayber v'l'kedusha, and to use hisrakshus in a positive and holy way. Rak otsu es atzmam, they held themselves back. Their entire way of keeping Torah mitzvahs was b'seichel, was I know what I should do and I'll do it, which is, of course, that's a madrega, that's something also, and knowing what was wrong and holding themselves back from doing what was wrong. Rak otsu es atzmam, umin hisrak sheyseyim haro'os rak hisapku. And there were a lot of negative hisak shuyes. There were strong emotions and strong feelings that were negative. And what they did during the younger years is rakis apku. If somebody would have given them, a free pass, you get, 3 hours to give into your taivas, it would have been terrible. And to their credit, these people are gibarim. that when in their younger years, even though there was a lot of dangerous stuff that was cooking inside of them, they were misapik, they held back, which is a big madrega, but they held back. But they never really cured the issue. And the cure is not, as we're learning, the cure is not that you should be an unfeeling, cold person. The cure and the tachlis of our avoda is to be able to have the hisrakshus navayis Hashem. And when a person's Yiddishkeit is with hisrakshus, as we learned earlier in the parak, l'chein kishabo b'yom v'nechleshu. So now, what happened to these people? These old chassidim that are stuck in terrible tivus, even as old men. L'chein says shabo b'yom v'nechleshu, when they got older, and they became weaker. V'imahem gam koyach hayis amtsus v'his apkus nechlesh. The strength that they had to hold back has become weaker. Oz rak min tavosei mesher gam hein nechleshu b'midah meruba mechulshas gufam hem nachin. So then you have some of these people whose taivas also became significant, their desires became significantly weaker, and they he says oz rak min tavosei mesher gam hein nechleshu b'midah meruba mechulshas gufam, those whose taivas became even weaker than their physical weakness, heim nachim. So they are at rest, so to speak. They're not overwhelmed with their taivas. Heim nachim. Umayayisan shaloi nechleshu imahem b'midah meruba. But then those taivas, or those individuals whose taivas have not diminished b'midah meruba significantly, heim sovlim, they suffer. U'kimat shekoshel hem la'amid negdan. And it's kimat, it's difficult. U'kimat shekoshel hem, they can almost not stand up and to withstand these taivas. Ki lo kol taiva v'lo b'chol ish nechleshes b'chulshas aguf. The Rebbe says, just because a person has become older and physically weaker does not mean that he's not obsessed with taivas, or that he's lost all of his taivas, just because he's become physically weaker. Ki yesh l'famim ish asher atzovav nevin, hamiyuchadim le'ez taiva le'ez sheifa. You have a person where his nerves, but meaning where the drive or the motivation for a specific taiva, or le'ez sheifa, to achieve something. In la'achilas mamtakim, whether it means to eat things, to eat tanash, to eat sweet, to eat junk, or lishnas mashkaros, you can have a young drunk, you can have an old drunk, but to drink too much, to eat too much, and to drink too much. Im l'saper lashon hara, a person loves to tell, he has a taiva to talk. A taiva, talking is also a taiva. It's a taiva to talk. To say lashon hara, to talk about other people, is a taiva. Ogam la taiva haroha, yuma rachman lishlan. Even for the terrible taiva, meaning the inyan of the gam habris, of impurity, in the inyan of what a person thinks about, in chalila, what a person does, in the area of pagam habris. So whereas one might think, the Rebbe says, that just because one might think that when you get older and the body weakens, that all of these taivas would naturally become weaker. The taiva to eat, the taiva to drink, the taiva to talk about things that one shouldn't talk about, or to look at things or think about things, chalila, that one shouldn't be thinking about. So he says that right my sifum is garbal khushas gufak shabab yamim. He says instead of these taivas decreasing, he says oftentimes as a person grows older they even increase. Right my sifum is gar. Why? He says, Kichol Chalosh Hatzovim, Hamizgora al Nikola. When a person is, when he speaks about weak nerves, meaning when a person grows older, and he's not as in control as he used to be, he doesn't have the strength that he had to be Mizgaber on his taivas. So for any small thing, he can get extremely agitated, he can get extremely worked up. It's true that physically the person's weaker, but that same individual who, when he was younger, first of all, he was more occupied with working and taking care of the family and involved in other things, and as he's growing older, even though his body becomes weaker, but since all of his life he had these taivas, all of his life he had these she'ifas, so when he grows older and the body weakens, so even though physically he's less involved in the world, but as far as those taivas are concerned, the Rebbe says, oftentimes they become even stronger and he becomes more lost in the world of imagination and taivas and so on. And that's even, you know, that's before there was television. Before there was the internet, a person, it's obvious that now where a person, just the fact that a person is growing older, and yet besides the fact that he's accustomed to a lifetime of thinking about things and a lifetime of wanting certain things, and then even as he goes older, and now he has more time on his hands, and he continues to watch things and to look at things and to think about things. So a person whose whole life is about taiva in his younger years, and he's trying to control these taivas, and he just assumes that finally when I'll be older I'll be free from all of this, and I'm not going to want anything, I'm just going to want to daven and learn and so on. So the Rebbe says that's a delusion. You were a dirty young man, you'll be a dirty old man. The only chilek is that when you were younger, you had more kaichas to fight against these taivas, these things. And the Rebbe is not saying that a person is necessarily going to carry out all kinds of horrible things, but he's going to, God forbid, leave the world with a mind and a heart that's filled with schmutz and narishkeit. That a person understands, and we've seen this. V'im ki rak chelak katan shebektan ma'ayd min achasidim, ashi yipol b'shachas zeh. Even though there's only a small amount of the chasidim that fall into this trap that we've been talking about, into this darkness. Who can guarantee each and every one of us that we're not going to be among those that as we grow older we're going to be more and more lost in the taivas and these inyanim? Shemea zayis yivche v'yidag v'chal gufe yischalchel. Whoever is hearing this should cry and should be worried, and his entire body should tremble. Kol tachli senu tshuka senu hi lachnia hem yas yitzreinu b'chaleis b'chalshoi yoyser. Our whole tachlis now, desire, is to be able to quiet down the noise of the Yetzirah at all times. L'taher l'kadesh oysam, to purify, to sanctify ourselves. L'hoysef aleinu taharu kedusha b'chal yehem b'chal shana, and to add more and more tahar and kedusha every day, every year, to become greater and greater. V'lefsoya psia acha psia, and to go step by step. Ada sheyagia kitzenu l'sa'alum in ha'olam hazeh al tayar kedushos yizbarach. Till finally, when it comes time to leave this world, we'll be able to rise from the world to the highest level of purity, and to meet Hashem Yisbarach, instead of sitting around in some condominium, in Florida someplace, staring at girls walking by, on a hot day. Nabuch. Uvenoyam lahav kodshai liikolel kener belahav ha'avuka. And in the sweetness and the pleasantness of his holy fire to be caught up in the candle and the flame of that avuk of the great torch of Hashem Yisbarach's fire. That was to rise up to Shemayim at 120, not to come with your head down, with bushes and bizyaynas at 120 to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to mamish leave the world like a fire. So when you're 120, your whole... At 120, that you're davening, you're learning, you shmir sa'inayim, you shmir sa'abris, your whole avoida of how you leave the world is that you become nichlal, you become included in the flame of that pureness of Hashem Yisbarach. V'him biskar v'seinu el zikna seinu. Oid efshe shechas v'shom noisiv refresh al rifshenu. Zuhuma alzuma seinu. And what if God forbid, as we draw closer to our old age, that not only are we not becoming holier, not only are we not becoming more godlike, but instead we are only adding more filth to the filth of our younger years. Gavadnu avadnu v'lanetzach avadnu. To die and to lose everything forever. Yishol chas v'shol nipol. To fall, God forbid, into the depths. B'shom ad oylem nishoyer, rachim la Hashem, b'shameinu kel, to remain there, God forbid, Hashem should protect us. Heavy oymer. Eev shalavad is Hashem, yibli l'kadish is atzmuzah. There's no choice. Our avod is Hashem cannot be without making a constant effort to be mekadish our atzmus. To mamish purify ourselves, be'etzim, to purify ourselves. It's not enough just to spend your whole life holding back and not doing aveiros, but to be mekadesh ourselves. Hisrak shoysev, all of our emotions. You can't do it without being mekadesh oneself and one's hisrak she is. Umebli lios gam ish misragish mekedushin. And we can't go on being individuals who are not misragesh from holiness, who don't feel excited by Kedusha. Ka hisragshus hi kol ha'adam. Because the hisragshus is the entire person. Ha hisragshus hi kol ha'adam. Moishachtei lemizrach. It pulls him to the east. He follows the hisrakshus. What you're margish, that pulls you everywhere. Lamar of Latzofen Ladorim Vuachara. And when your hisrakshus draws you to the west or to the north or to the south, you follow the hisrakshus. El Atahoim. And if your hisrakshus lead you to the depths, you'll follow your hisrakshus to the depths, no matter what you're thinking. Even though you read the latest pshat, in the parasha, and you read, you're a very bright person, and you understand how important it is to be a good Jew. Lamaisi says that the teva of a person, especially in our times, when the seichel is not strong, a person follows his hisrakshis. He follows his hergeshis. He goes after what he's margish. And if your hergeshus, if your emotions and your excitement pull you in this direction or that direction, you'll follow it. And if it pulls you down to the tahaim, to the depths, God forbid, you'll follow your emotions to that place. Umal sayu lirakia v'gamhu achara. And when your hisrakshi is turned towards Shemayim, towards the Rebbeinu Shalom, to higher things, and you have a hergish and his slav is for higher things, then that's where you'll go. Avil isha misragesh, page chafei. A person who's a misragesh. Zois meres shagam liba midoisev nisrakechu v'gam behem margish esatoy v'esara. Hachayim v'amoves. a person who's a misragesh, that person's misragesh, his heart and his midas have become softened. They become pliable, bendable. V'gam behem margish is hatoy v'sara. V'gam behem margish is hatoy v'sara. A person can hear, and we wonder about ourselves, that you hear about something terrible. You hear that God forbid, that a child is sick, chalil, or you hear that something horrible happened to somebody. And even though inside of your head you know that this is terrible, and you feel bad about it. I mean, you know that it's bad, and you understand, and in your seichel you feel bad. I know it's hard to say because the seichel doesn't feel. Your seichel knows that you're supposed to feel bad, and you make the proper gestures of feeling bad, and you say that's terrible. But it's not that your heart is soft and that you actually feel like crying, and that you have to hold yourself back from crying. You just say it's terrible, and you know that it's terrible. Or a person thinks about something that's tayv, that's very, very good, something good that happened. He's at his friend Simcha. You're at a chasne, the friend Simcha. Or you're in the middle of a rikud, you're in the middle of a dance by a simcha, by a yontiv, by a Shabbos, you're in the middle of a rikud, and you know intellectually that this is good, and you think, hey, this is gewaldig, but you don't feel, really different, you don't necessarily feel, and you're not excited about that taif. Or if something is big, you're not excited about it, and you're not angry about it. V'gam behem margish is atayv v'sara. But a person who's a misragish, he doesn't only think something is good, or think that something is bad. He feels the tayv and the ra. He feels very deeply the tayv of something that's good. And he doesn't only say, boy, I'm so happy for you, or I really feel your pain. He doesn't just say those words, you know, while he's really feeling his, you know, his athlete's foot. He be'emes, be'emes. He has a hergish of tov, and a hergish in his pilus when it comes to something that's bad, a hergish that it's something which he loathes and something which he detests. We're growing up at a time that we're so insensitive to these things. A person can open up a newspaper and read about all kinds of, you know, murders and all kinds of crazy things and a person doesn't even have to throw up. We take it so much for granted, and we know about these things, and these things exist, but the hergish is not there. He says the inyan of an ish misragish is that gam liboy midoysev nisrakechu v'gam behem margish is atayv asara. He feels deeply what is good, and he feels deeply asara what's bad. I read yesterday this yid Malkin died. You know who he was? Peter Malkin. He was a brilliant person also. He was the one that actually captured Eichmann Yamach Shemai. He's one of the most legendary, you know, intelligence people on earth. He was with the Mossad for many, many years, and he was involved in all kinds of. We don't even know what he was involved in. Just the things that a little bit that the world knows are the most amazing things. So there was an obituary. There was a whole write up on this Yid Malkin. His name is Peter, but his name is Svi, and his whole family was killed in the Milchama. And he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was in the Mossad. He was born someplace in Litta. And this Yid, he said over there, I didn't read, he read a book, I never saw the book, I don't know. He wrote a book about Rabbi Eichmann, this Maisa, and he said that when he, on Garibaldi Street in Argentina, you know the whole, I don't have to tell you, the whole Maisa that happened, and people employ him how it was all orchestrated and how they got Eichmann. So he said that he was the one, he made the move to get him. And he said something in Spanish, he had to stop Eichmann and cause Eichmann to pause for a moment on the street. And they were watching him. There was they had this safe house over there, and they were watching him for quite a bit of time to get everything just right. Germans, Yimach Shemam V'Zichrim, you know, they're very meduik. If it's a 5:15 train, you can be sure they're coming off at they'll get the train at 5:15, not at 5:16. They're very medactic in time. So they were watching him for a long time, and they had it all worked out. So Malkin said that he stopped him for a moment. He said something in Spanish. Excuse me, sir, for a moment. You have the time, something like that. And then the guys were there, and you know, and they had to wait for the right time. And he grabbed them. They grabbed him, and they took him away. So he said, in his autobiography, that he wore gloves. He wore gloves, not because of fingerprints. They didn't care about that. He wore gloves because he said, I wouldn't touch him with my hands. I wouldn't touch him. I didn't want to touch Eichmann, Yimach Shemai Vizir. I was very nispol from that. To have, it's a hergish when you feel the loathing for evil. The loathing for evil. That when something is disgusting and something is horrible, that you shouldn't be able to touch it. People like ourselves could work in an office, or could walk up and down the streets of the city, or you don't have to even go to Manhattan for the tumor. I mean, once the weather gets warm, it's everywhere, and a person can walk up down the streets, and he doesn't have to wear gloves, he doesn't have to wear dark glasses, he doesn't have to wear blinders, and go on this. And if somebody asks him, don't you feel that any of this has any effect upon you? No, Baruch Hashem. I have no shaykhis to these things, you know, like I'm far removed from all this. That's only because we're just not misraction, meaning that the emes is that it would be hard bechlal to be soivel any of this, to be able to be soivel these things. And I remember once, and I remember once I was a kid. So my uncle's on the diamond exchange. He still goes in like once a week. I don't know why. He just likes to go in to see that to see some of the guys. I guess I don't know. Yeah, he's Baruch Hashem very very on in the years, but he goes in. But he's from the right after the Milchama. He was like from the first after the Milchama. And I would go sometimes with my father. So my father had his business downtown, and I would go to my uncle. My father had to see my uncle, and we went there. And I remember that I was with my father and my uncle, and I wasn't a little kid. I maybe was 15 or something like that. And my uncle said, my uncle said, we have to go to so-and-so to stop by something with the business, with the jewelry, and to talk to a little bit. And I went, my father, we went to this, and we came, there was a real Chassidish Yid. And my father and my uncle knew him, so Chassidish Yid. He was from their hometown. And everybody's so happy to see each other. It's a Gewaldige thing. And to me, you know, the whole Chassidim, all this, you know, I used to see them when we went to visit family in Innsbruck, but it was always interesting and strange, you know, and I remember so clearly. So the older chassidim were talking to my father, my uncle, and they had a son there that was maybe like 18 years old, 19 years old, with a long payas, and he was there with his father. And there was a woman who came in to do business. A young woman came in to do business, to talk about something in the display thing. And it struck me how that kid, whatever he is, 18, 19 years old, that chassid, didn't look once at the woman. He was like this, you know, he was talking to her like this, but he was looking like, you know, the other way. And he was saying like this, and he was saying, is this something? Is that? And I remember when I was going back with my father, I was making fun of it. I was making fun of this guy. You know? I was saying, I said, "Dad, do you see this?" I said, "Oh, his son, yeah, what about him?" I said, "I kind of just standing there like, you know, and he can't look at the, what's the matter with him? He's such a baltaiva or something, he can't talk to somebody and like a normal person. He stands there like, you know, this, and he's not even looking at him." My father let me have it. I'm not afraid. Let me have it. He said, "Oh, this is a great tzaddik. Oh, you're such a big tzaddik." He said, "This is an emissary yid. That's what a yid is, and that's how we used to be." And he told me how his brother, and I once mentioned this to him, I never met him, my uncle, Tzvi Hirsch. He says that Avram Hirsch. He said that my uncle, he said that he, my father would walk him on the street, that he never ever lifted his eyes up ever from the ground. That's what my father told it to me, that one of the other brothers would have to walk with him, somebody would have to walk with him, because he never, never lifted his eyes up to look. And that I'm talking about, you know, in Hungary in 1930, you know, 1925, 1920, those years. It's not like you had, you know, it's not like you had stuff going on in the streets. But to walk in such a way was b'kedusha b'tahara. And we don't have a hasag of these things, of wearing gloves. Of wearing gloves not to come to contact with tumah. Wearing gloves. Adrabah, a person buys a television, and then he has the television, he orders additional. He gets cable to have additional exposure to tumah. And after all these years, we'll still make fun of the guy that's standing there looking the other way. Come on, be a mensch. Look at me. I'm such a mensch. I read the Wall Street Journal. I'm able to be a mensch and look at everybody in the eyes. I'm able to be a part of modern civilization, of modern society. This is all a game. It's all a bluff that we're in. It's because our sheaf is enough for Kedusha. Our sheaf is enough for Kedusha. We have to be honest about that. When I say, I mean, I'm not saying everybody could, but of our generation, not she'ifas for Kedusha. To want, not just to be shomer mitzvahs. To be shomer mitzvahs while your whole life, like the Rebbe was saying here, you're holding back not to do averis. You're holding back not trying not to get lost in those horrible things. But the person, he's a person to have a hegish for toiv and a hegish for ra. A person who's so sensitive. And a person who's so sensitive when it comes to evil, when it comes to tumah, that same person has a strong hergish when it comes to taif, when it comes to feeling the simcha for a friend, when it comes to feeling a yontiv, a Shabbos. Because it's a funny thing, you'd ask yourself, you have people that work so hard, that have a difficult life, and they could stand in shul till 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, on a Shabbos davening. You go to these places, you go to the yeshiva that the davening is like till the late afternoon. And Yom Tovim, they go till 4, 5 o'clock. And by people like us, if there's one Haisafa, one Aliyah extra, you'll never dive in that shul again. You go home, you tell your wife, you're not going to believe it. They gave some old uncle this guy, they gave him an aliyah. So your wife says, "So what's the big deal?" No, you don't understand. That was besides the seven aliyahs. They gave this guy an aliyah. So I said, so how long does an aliyah take? It's not just how long it takes. That's exactly what it is. Of course, what is it? Like, you don't like the guy, he's just a regular guy. No, it took an extra 30 seconds of your time. Two brachas, a mishaberach, you know, that's it. Forget it. You got to find someplace else to daven. You don't understand, you tell your wife. No, but what's that understand? And every 3 weeks, this guy goes up to daven for the yom, and it's torture. And that I agree. I was about to say, man, that's true. Because that's not just a question of time. It all has to do with a certain Indian with the davening. But that's not because you can't stand in shul a little bit longer. It's just that, it's when the davening becomes entertainment. You know, some form of, he thinks it's entertainment, but for us it's torture. But it becomes some kind of a stage for some guy to gargle, you know, for the whole island. All right, that's unbearable. That's true. But I'm talking about when it's purely a question of time, that we don't have the time. Because we have no, if you don't have a hergish for tefillah, you don't have a hergish for tefillah. So a person's not sensitive to toiv or to ra. That's what I was thinking about, that this year, he had to wear gloves because he didn't want to touch Eichmann with his hands. What a gewaldige thing. That he couldn't touch the tumma. Achayim v'hamavis v'gam mispol min ha'gishol seizu u'mis'oir al yod l'tayv u'l'chayim. Rabbi Yosher Ber, Allah Shalom, has a number of tirades where he talks about that. What is the meaning of tuma? What does tuma mean? What does that mean, defilement? So in halacha, it's complicated. Different madrigas of tuma. When do you become tame? Remember, Rabbi Yosher Ber spoke about the tuma of coming into contact with the corpse. That the Ovi Ovis Atumah. And he speaks there, Kidarko, in his own amazing way, about a person coming to terms or being unable to come to terms with how repulsive death is. Death is repulsive. What does that mean? That here you had a person who was alive, was labedik, and with dreams and aspirations, and with children and parents and friends and brothers and sisters, and was active part of the world, and then a minute later, he's no longer part of the world. And he said that how disgusting that is, and tum is the loathsomeness of death, how loathsome and disgusting. That a person becomes insensitive, especially since, you know, the growing up and watching, you know, shows, everybody, every 5 minutes someone's getting killed on the show, and hearing all of these things in the news and so on, to become insensitive to this. But a person, he says, is an ish misragish, is mispolim and hagashos, is zu, misoyra al yad alatoiv alachayim. When something good happens, he has his oyravus. He has a hisrakshus to do something good. When there's something good, he has a hisrakshus for something good. Lahavdal alfa alfa havdalos, remember? I don't know. I know we used to watch on Sunday, used to watch a Knick game on Sunday. I don't remember it used to be on, but it was like Sunday, I don't like 1-2, but there's the pregame and everything. You know, it was like a whole thing when the Knicks were in their prime. Those who remember those years, you know? Frazier and Monroe and Willis Reed, that was in their prime. And so I remember, you know, you could watch a game, it was Sunday, and you watch a game, it was like 20 degrees out and snow and ice, right? After the game, I would always, you know, call one of the guys, okay, I'll meet you. You go half hour after the, you turn off the television, 15 minutes, half after, we're in the park there, with the basketball, 20 degrees out. But we had such a hysteroxus from the game. So this guy wants to be Frazier, this guy wants to be DeBush, the other guy's going to be Bradley Reed, and these five yeshiva brachim, these idiots, get together, 20 degrees, standing outside, you know, standing outside there, you know, playing basketball in the middle of the winter, because there was such a hisrakshus from the game. There was such an excitement from the game. that you had to put into some kelim. We're gonna stand around throwing my sock through the hanger. You know, he's put on the door the hanger. Try to. It's not enough. You got to get to a basketball court. You got to get out there. You can't just sit in your room like that. Yeah. You got to get out there. And it was such a hisrakshus. That's the Musa Haskel that comes from the Sima Shas. A person who's a misragesh doesn't mean that every person there has to learn dafka the daf yomi. That's a person who has a different tiyus to learn whatever he likes to learn. For some people that's gevaldik, other people like to learn different things. That's not the point. The point is when you're part of an unbelievable moment of kavodat Torah, and you feel, not just you look around and you say, wow, this is really nice, but you feel his hisrogshus of the greatness of Torah, of how spectacular Torah is. So then everybody goes home and you say, oh, I got to do something. I got to say hisrogshus. I got to get up. I got to do something. So we were talking about the Baruch Hashem Daf Yomi that started here in the shul, and there was a big oilam yesterday. So I was very excited about that. There was a big oilam. So I said to one of the guys, and one of the guys said to me, "Wait, Rabbi. Even Shea Stadium is full on opening day." Let's see what happens in the season. During the season, opening day could fill up. Even Shea Stadium could fill up. So I felt like, oh, okay, I got it. I guess we have to wait and see what happens. But so what a merdeka time the day after the Siyam Hashas, and to see who's a misragish and who's not a misragish, who was watching as a spectator from the outside, who's watching as a spectator. There's even somebody that one of the Chavarim showed me an article. I don't even know what to say. There's not a way to talk about such an inyan, but somebody that wants to boycott in the future any Siyam Hashas, and he wants other Jews to boycott the Siyam Hashas from person, because he doesn't think it's the proper way to learn Torah in such a way. He thinks that we have to learn more the Iyan, and it's not right to learn so quickly through Shas. So we should boycott it, and we shouldn't make a big deal about the Siyam Hashas, and so on and so forth. Hashem Yirachim. I mean, I have to say, there aren't words. There aren't words in the Hebrew dictionary. Not Rav Meir Shapiro, not all the tzaddikim, not all the kedoshe elyon, not the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, every time he saw Rav Meir Shapiro, he kissed him and hugged him. He called him Reb Daf Yomi. That's the Chofetz Chaim called Rav Meir Shapiro, Reb Daf Yomi. But this guy figured out, and he put it on the internet. He figured out that this is not a good thing for the Jewish people. He sat there the other night. 120,000, he didn't go. He boycotted. But there were 120,000, I mean, we used to boycott Pepsi, you know, stuff like that. 120,000 people. I mean, in North America. And then in Eretz Yisrael, Bli Ayin Hara. And all over the world, in London, in Antwerp, all over the world. And he sat, and he looked at this, and he came to that conclusion. That this is bad. He put in the usual sentences, of course, I admire these people getting up in the morning and so on. The usual sentences. But then he went on like to Hamish. I have to hold back not to say strongly Shinus, because Safka Sofi is a youth. And he's much just very, very mixed up, and I don't know what that is. A person who saw that, who was part of that, the Hisrakshas. There's rakshas. There's something that it's not the. That's why I said to people, this speech, that speech. I didn't go bechlal to hear. There wasn't an inyan of hearing speeches. It was the inyan of being part of the most miraculous people on earth, and that the whole miracle is a miracle of Torah, and that's our survival is being Jews and living with Yiddishkeit and the goyim that were there was so spoiled. The going with this on this spoil, and when I was going, so we were waiting on the corner there, a couple of guys, because they had to wait a few minutes. So I was there. There were a few Chassidish Yidden that were there, and a police. There were a lot of police all over, and the policeman asked this guy. I didn't even think he would know English. The real Chassidish guy, and the police said, "Hey, what are you guys doing over here?" The policeman said, "What's going on here? What are you guys doing?" So the older guy, this Chassidish guy, turns to turns to the guy next to him and says, in Yiddish, he asks him, what does he want? So he says, he wants to know what is it, what are we doing? So he says, what should I tell him? So the other guy says, tell him it's a chesim hashas. Tell him it's a chesim hashas. So he says, in the heaviest accent, he says, we finished a big book. So he says, we're finishing a big book. He says, the guy says, that's a big party you're making, man. That's a big party you guys are making. So he says, very big book. Very big. Who could understand that in the world, what that means to be a Yid? Amika Amchi Yisrael. Who could understand what it means to be a Yid? A very big book. To explain to a guy that's not that Sefer, Sefer, Sipur, the Baruch Shalom, like it says in the Yetzirah, that the whole world is a book. And the Baruch Shalom, and the Torah is the Baruch Shalom's story of himself. It's his autobiography. And how a Yid wants to be Mizdabik to Hashem. And to understand, who could understand such a thing? So a person walks away from that with his sraksis. It's not a question of do I remember what this rabbi said or that Rosh Hashiva said. To remember what they said is to remember, you know, and you can walk away from Ayin HaSinai and you say, what was that? Anoichi Hashem what? Lo Yilecha what? Did you take notes? You remember what he said? I don't know. You know, you can imagine walking away from Ayin HaSinai. You remember what happened over there? No, but it was great. I don't know what it was, but it was great. The Kailas and the Brokim. I don't remember what he said, but I know that I want to live that way. I can't say exactly what the Shia was about. I can't say it over, but I know that that's who I am, and I know that that's what I want to be. So the day after the Siyam Hashanas, a person, a misragish, not that you were a spectator, but a misragish says to himself, wow, this is unbelievable. What can I do? Because he wants to do, that's what the Rebbe is saying here. The Gamispolman Hagishalsa Zumis Aira Yodla Taivalachaim. A Balhergish, an Ish Misragesh. He has a spilus from the Hargosha, and he's Misaira to do something good. La Taivalachaim, what am I gonna do? It's not just it was really nice, but he's misspoiled from it. I have to change something in my life, I have to do something with Umas da Zayim and Harava Amavis. And on the other hand, the opposite extreme, that when he comes into contact with evil, when he comes into contact with death, he's mizdazaya. He trembles. It nauseates him. Even though this person hasn't yet really reached the highest levels of sumeira, of staying away from bad things, and he hasn't reached the highest levels of asay toiv, of reaching higher in good things, but he has a hergish from toiv. He's excited about toiv. It excites him, and he's repulsed by ra, and he detests ra. That's a big thing, and only a misragish can feel that, the excitement over toiv and the anger with evil. Even though he hasn't yet been misakin himself, and he's still missing a lot. He's not in the highest madragas, but he's already a misragish, an ish misragish. At least he's no longer like the ben hamishug, like just stam and mishigan a kid. He's like the Ben Chochem, who knows what's good, and he's mispoiled from what's good. It's not that he just knows intellectually that he's supposed to be God fearing. But his heart trembles at the thought of God's greatness and at the infinite one. His heart trembles. That he trembles in fear thinking about the one who is above all worlds, before whom even the angels are shaking. V'yesh avrach kazeh kishu levada b'beis ha-machshov ero rotz nera oichaz ha-yisei rachma l'tzlan. Sometimes it will happen that a young man who's a misragesh will be alone in his house and he'll have a bad thought, a machshov ero, a rotzen ra, or some a rotzen, something, a desire to do something bad takes hold of him. Rachman l'tzlan. U'pissayim v'hinei pirkus oyver miroisha v'akapes raglu v'sarosav oimdash lekem asmeiros alei Hashem l'fonai v'hu rayani. And all of a sudden, so he has this thought crosses his mind. This thought crosses his mind of something bad. And he has a sudden desire for something that's bad. And all of a sudden, even without consciously trying to get to this, all of a sudden, he feels like a shock passed through him from his head all the way down to the bottom of his feet. And his hair like starts to stand on end. With this realization, Halai Hashem lefanai v'hurayani. Hashem is watching me. Hashem's mom is here in front of me. He's watching me. He's looking at me. And instead of going after that bad thing and continuing to think about it and God forbid acting upon it, his heart begins to long for Hashem. And this mamra machshav, and he feels gevalt. How could I have had such a terrible thought? And he feels bad about it. It's not like he even consciously makes the decision to say these words. It just comes out of his mouth and he says, "Oh, Rabbi Shalom, what am I going to do? I'm in such a low place." And Rabbi Shalom, who knows? Maybe am I going to be like this the rest of my life, that I'm going to have these thoughts? Rabbi Shalom, rachem alai. Rabbi Shalom, have achmonis on me. Vayitzieni min harefesh v'tahareini, and take me out of the tumah and purify me. Karveini na lavadasecha b'kedusha, and bring me close to serve you in holiness b'kedusha. Here for the brackets, that's what was originally in the Yiddish. V'gam bechlal istaklusa shel avrech kazeh b'kibbuh k'chayla hamakir ischalyay. The way that he looks at himself is like a person who's sick, but he knows his sickness. He's honest about it. He knows what he's up against. Not like the other guy who says, "Hey, what's the matter with this guy? He can't look at anything. What's wrong with him? But what's he so upset about?" But he's upset, and he's makiris chaliyov yedeh shiflus v'chaliyos, and he knows his shiflus and his sickness, and he wants it to be better. He wants to get better. He wants it to be healed, and he goes looking for ways to that it should become better. Which is the first opening to himself and to his own soul. That's what happens to the one who's misragish from Ra. That when he has this thought that crosses his mind, it upsets him, and he thinks, how could I have this thought when I'm standing mamish in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Because to him, God isn't an idea. It's not some abstract philosophical reality that's part of your Yahadis assignment. It's mamish soma l'chanavshi l'kel chayai. It's the God of my life. It's not the God of somebody else's life. It's not some idea that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Baruch Shalom is standing mamish in front of me, and I'm standing in the presence of Melech Malchei Amlochim, the King of all kings. And how do I think like that? What's the matter with me? And he's misspoiled from that thought that he had. How could I live this way? How could I go on living this way? Since every single second I'm in the presence of the Baruch Shalom, how could I go on like this? He says, okay, this is a madrega, a person's a misragish. But then even with that person, there's the individual who's not in control of his Isvakshus. You know what happens? In other words, when he comes to contact with something which is really, really bad, then he has his Isvakshus. But he can't be misragish when he decides to be misragish. It's just when it happens. But it's lebe b'chirasahi. It's not a matter of choice. Because the tachlis of this kuntras of Achshavas Avreichim is that the Rebbe is going to be teaching us step by step how to be misragishim and how to make that decision when to be misragish and even when not to be misragish. When there's something where you should have to stay away from. But how to use one's b'chira, which is so far from our way of thinking. The way we think is that, there are things that get me upset, things that make me happy, whatever it is, I can't tell. I don't know. I have to wait and see what I'm going to be misspoiled from, what I'm going to be misragish from. So even though this person is capable, he's not cold, he's a misragish. But it's lebe b'chirosehi. Kshebolo yisragshus misragish. When it comes to him, a certain emotion and excitement, he's misragish. Kleboloi. And when he's not in that mood and he doesn't have his ragshus, then he's k'eitz karvakovi. Then he's like a piece of wood, cold, and it's nothing. He's capable of his ragshus. He feels from certain times in davening and learning his ragshus, but it's not something which is up to him. It's just, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It's not up to him. Haz hein tov. Certainly this person is in a better, it's better than someone who's just like a meshugim who has nothing at all. That's already better. But he's still not yet on the madreig of the ben achachem. We could compare him to somebody who at times he's healthy and at times he's not. He says, "Gam hu ba'atzmi yedei ma toiv u ma ra." It's a toiv reisa. Afshar gam oz ein hayidia bruer b'vein kazek k'mo b'ben habori v'chacham tamid. V'gam lo yiritzayin habori v'chazak k'mayu. U'b'itim ha'shaitim ein benu l'ben ha'meshug l'gam v'lei klub. When he's healthy, in other words, when there is that hergish, so then he's, in that respect, he feels strongly the difference between good and evil, and he's excited by them. But when he's beitim shaitim, ain't bein lo bein hamishugel lagamer v'leklum. At a time when he's not misragish, there's no difference between him and the mishugim. V'lo haya biyad haben hazeh al kol panim l'gbayas itav shebishor sheyirtze bebchiros yigbez daitli yisate b'dem yushavis. Because lo haya samachlosa kolkach kosher. Avda oke sheina dover biyadam. He's not in control of these emotions. He's not in control. That now it comes time for Shachris and he turns it on. And it comes time for Minchin, he turns it on. Or comes time to do a mitzvah and he's able to turn on the hag. It's not biyado, it's not up to him. And therefore when it comes to something which is bad, there's no guarantee for this person either that he's not going to be overwhelmed by the evil. And there's no guarantee that he's going to do the right thing. So it is with a person whose misragish is not a matter of his own will. It's just either he feels excited or he's not excited. He doesn't have the ability to get himself going. You don't know how to turn on the hergish. It's true that he's better than a cold person, Vayovish, and the dry person, Lagamaki, Misragishu, because once in a while he does have his Srakshus. But still, it's not, in this person, it's also not really strong, his Srakshus. It's just a lighter his Srakshus, and it's more something that he's thinking about, but it's not strong. But he doesn't have the ability to turn on and to light up and to ignite the whole atzmus of his body and all of his kaychas and his midas when he wants to. So the fact that every Yom Kippur has his rakshas by Hashem Elokim, what about the whole year? That's when it happens to him, his rakshas. He has the biggest rakshas. Or with the CMSS, what's going to be? Once every 7.5 years, he has the Israqshus. often pamayim v'sholos b'shana, maybe it's two or three times a year. L'zakech l'kadosh is kol atzmusa b'chol yemais hashana sh'ayseim regeyim. Our avoid is that is to be mekadosh, to change, to uplift, and to transform our atzmus, to make ourselves people who can be misragish when we want to, by every davening, by every bracha, and to have his sraksus and his spilus from that which is wrong every single time. Anything that comes our way is to want, and with the bechira to have that sraksus and his spilus. That's the avoid that we're going to be talking about, Bez Hashem, as we go through the countries.